it's great to be in the house of the Lord today. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just want to let you all know that in July we will be going back. We will have our Sunday school again. It'll be like a power hour or one class. So that'll be the fifth. All right. And we'll also be going back to Wednesday night services in July also. Amen. About you, but I love church. It's been a good life living for Jesus Christ. Amen. I wouldn't want to live any other way, as we serve a great God. Amen. I want to speak to you today on a message, blessed to be blessed. We are blessed to be blessed. Amen. If you'd like to live for God so you can be blessed to bless, you can do it today. Amen. We're going to read from Esther chapter 4. Brother Steve's going to read for me here today. Esther 4, verse 1 through 17.
When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the gate, king's gate, clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to shew it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went this way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him.
Thank you. Amen. Lord, we ask you right now, Thank you, God, for your word today. And Lord, we're here, Lord, to hear from you. And I just pray, God, that you'll help it speak to every heart here today, God, that your will be done in this place, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Blessed to be blessed. One of the greatest verses in here, in verse 14, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. We can't hold our peace. Amen? And then in verse 16, she says, if I perish, I perish. The story of Esther takes place during the exile, or what some people call the Babylonian captivity. And it was probably written shortly after the Jews returned to their homeland in 537 B.C. And the Jews were, at this time, rebuilding their cities. And they were rebuilding their towns. And it's a time, and also rebuilding the temple. Life was a struggle. And their faith was shattered. See, the Jews didn't know what to believe. Esther was written to give the people hope. The book of Esther was written to give hope and to explain how God was still a part of their lives. Esther is the central figure in what is one of the most controversial books in the Old Testament, because not once, folks, listen to this, not once does it state the name of God. Think about that. God doesn't appear in it. And the book of Esther is also one of only two books in the Old Testament bearing the name of a woman around whom the narrative centers. Now, some scholars call it a historical novel. Others term it as a festal legend. But either way, the courage of Esther becomes the dominating factor in the salvation of her people. It is in this short book, her name appears 55 times. The name of no other woman in the Bible is recorded so often. Esther came to power by winning a reality show called Who Can Win the King's Heart? After winning, she became king, a queen, and the king sent the royal crown. He set it on her head and changed her name from Hadassah, meaning myrtle, to Esther, meaning star. Now, the second part of the reality show was once the woman was chosen as queen, she also had to show that she could live by all the rules of the kingdom. Imagine that. You got to live according to how the king wants you to live. Do we serve a king today? Huh? We serve a king. We have to live by his rules. We have to show that we can live by those rules. And that's what Esther had to do. Esther, not only was she chosen to be queen, she had to show that she could live according to the king's rule. You see, folks, one of the main rules, think about this, was that no one could approach the king unless he asked for you. And that meant even his wife, the queen. When you read in the story, it said he hadn't called for her in 30 days. Husbands, could you imagine that? Now, see your wife for 30 days? I don't like my wife to be gone 30 minutes, 30 seconds. But that main rule, nobody could approach him unless he called for you. So Esther didn't just have courage, but a sincere faith and a devotion to the cause of her people. Esther's cousin Mordecai, he offended this evil man by the name of Haman. He was a high official in the king's court, and Haman had been given the king's signet ring, and therefore he had the authority to have all the Jewish people destroyed, killed, annihilated. Once a decree is issued in the Persian monarch, it could not be altered. You see, but folks, God stepped in. Even though God is not listed in this Bible, God stepped in. And in his providential way, he delivered his people from this decree. The Bible says that when Mordecai learned that all had been done, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the city wailing loudly and bitterly. And when Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him and for him to put on instead of his sackcloth. But see, folks, he would not accept them. Esther summons Hatach, and one of the king's eunuchs had assigned to her and ordered him to find out what is troubling Mordecai. So Hatachi went out to Mordecai, and Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation and showed this to Esther and explained it to her. And he told him to urge her to go to the king's presence, to beg for mercy and to plead him for her people. That's asking quite a bit. So Hatach went back and he reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And so Mordecai laid it all out for Esther. So Mordecai asked her to go to the king and plead for the mercy of her people. And I'm sure, folks, I'm sure that Mordecai knew what he was asking of Esther to do. He knew it was a risky move. He knew it was risky for her to do this for her people. But what else could be done? You see, because if you went into the king without being invited, if he didn't stretch that golden scepter out, you were done. He would kill you. How did Esther respond to the news of Haman's plan and Mordecai's request? You see, Esther instructed him, go say this to Mordecai. All the king's officials and the people of the royal province know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, and that is to put them to death. Your pastor don't do that. You see, the only exception to this is for the king to extend that golden scepter. Spare their life. That's what she was hoping for. But 30 days, he hadn't called her. Esther wasn't sure Mordecai knew what he was asking of her to do. So she sent this to him. Yes, but, Mordecai, you know the old proverbial, yes, but. I know I should do it, but. I understand, but. If Esther obeyed Mordecai, she stood the risk of everything, including her life. You see, although the king was her husband, she couldn't just stroll into his office and casually unload what was on her mind. That's not how it worked in ancient Persia. You didn't appear before the king unless he called you. So how's that for intimidation, folks? If anyone appeared before the king without being summoned, the guard was ready to remove their head. So if Esther went before the king without being summoned, he could have her put to death. On top of all of that, she was also Jewish. So who knows how that Gentile monarch would have responded when he found out about his queen's nationality. But before we judge Esther too harshly here today, before we judge her harshly as being as cowardly, I want you to think about the times that you were too much of a coward to do what was right or to do what needed to be done. You see, it's easy to be brave when we're protected and secured and when we have nothing to lose. But when something is really on the line, we are inclined sometimes to rationalize saying, but I could lose my job. Or I could lose my best friend. Or I could lose my boyfriend or girlfriend. Or I might look like a fool. Come on. Now, I don't want to be a preacher who preaches rose with rose-colored glasses here today, folks, or try to insinuate that we have that when we do what is right, everything comes up roses. I'm not too blind to understand that today. I'm not going to sit here and say, if you do everything that's right, God's going to bless you, and it's just going to be, He's going to dump money in your bank account and all. I'm not going to tell you that. Because see, sometimes, folks, we have to suffer. But see, God's rewards aren't always dispensed in this world. We're going to receive some of our rewards over there. Some people who have stood for what is right have suffered for it. So this was a huge dilemma for Esther. And it is for us when we face similar changes or challenges, amen? But Mordecai knew Esther. He knew Esther. He raised her. You see, Mordecai knew Esther's character. And he knew how far he could push her. So what would Mordecai say in response to Esther's reply when she had Hadash go out and tell her, hey, look, if I go in before the king, I could die. And this is one of the greatest moments in the story of Esther. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent this answer back to her. Don't you think because you are in the king's house, you alone, of all the Jews, will escape, Esther. Come on. Don't just think because you're apostolic and you got the truth today that you're going to escape all of the things that come at us from the world. He says, for if you remain silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance for Jews will arise from another place. You see, what he's saying is, look, if you don't do it, God will find somebody that will. If you don't tell your testimony to your friends and your family members and your neighbors, God will find somebody that will. He says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will come from somebody else, but you and your father's family, Esther, will perish. Think about that, folks. And who knows, Esther, but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this. Who knows why you're in that job where you're at right now? Maybe you don't like it, but maybe you're there for a reason. Maybe you live in your neighborhood for a reason. Maybe you meet somebody at a grocery store for a reason. Or at a gas station for a reason. Maybe, folks, for such a time as this. This goes down in history as one of the most turning point speeches. You see, Mordecai made three compelling points to her. First, he made it clear that if she did nothing, that would not guarantee her safety. But being a Jew, she could most likely die just like everybody else. And then Mordecai expressed his faith that God was not limited to her, amen, and that God would not allow his people to perish. God will use someone to save the Jewish nation, whether it's Esther or not. Mordecai also emphasized possibly the possibility that Esther might be this one that God has chosen to save his people. I believe today, as apostolics here under the sound of my voice, that you are blessed today to bless others. Amen. This is such a time as this. You are blessed to know this apostolic truth. Amen. To know this one God. Amen. To be baptized in Jesus' name for a reason, and it is to save a world. We are blessed to bless. So this explains why Esther had been chosen to be queen for such a time as this, for this very moment. Mordecai basically says, Esther, this is your hour. So shine. Stand. Speak. And maybe even die. But whatever you do, don't be silent. Come on, folks. You may be humiliated sometimes talking to somebody. They may come back and joke and laugh at you, make fun of you. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a time for all of us to stand up and to voice our opinions, to voice what we believe, to tell people you know that you know a God who is able to touch them, who's able to heal them when they need healing, who's able to deliver them when they need deliverance. I know a God. We're blessed to bless. How would you have responded if you were Esther? How would you have responded? Look at her response. Then Esther sent to, or this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all of the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maids will fast with you. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and he carried out all of Esther's instructions. Now, folks, understand this. You are blessed to be a blessing. We have to make a decision to act or not to act. We have to know that the problem won't always take care of itself. We have to realize, folks, that we need, that the need won't go away. So you may walk in here today, you may have problems in your life. There's a lot of things going on in this world right now, but it won't always go away. The need that you have here today won't go away. We have to accept the fact that no decision is a decision. Come on. I said no decision is a decision. I believe we need to stand up as apostolics and say, I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell the world about a Savior. I'm going to live like an apostolic. I don't care what the rest of the world does. We have to understand that once we are aware of a kingdom issue, God expects us to do something about it. You believe that with me today? I don't care if you believe it or not. It's the truth. Once God shows you there's a need that needs to be taken care of, He expects you to do something about it. Esther was pointed out a need. And God expected her to do something about that need. We see things all the time, folks. And sometimes we want to turn a blind eye to it and act like we didn't see it. Come on. That's how a lot of parenting's done. We know that that child should get a spanking for what they're doing, but we're kind of ignoring it. Come on. Oh, you're going to be quiet on me. Should I park right here a little bit? Come on. You know you told them not to do that 13 times and they're still doing it. All right, I'll get off that handling for a minute and get back to my message. That was free, by the way. When we see a need, when we see somebody needs a Bible study, when we see somebody needs a little helping hand, folks, God expects us to do something about it. Come on. Come on. Are we being apostolic today? Because the problem is not going to take care of itself. If you're not going to do it, God will get somebody will. God expects us to do something. We have to act regardless of our limitations. Come on. God had a need. He told Moses, he said, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh. Oh, but God, I can't do it. I stutter. God kept trying, come on, you can do it. He kept giving God the same excuse. God said, okay, you're still going to go before him, but Aaron's going to go with you and he can speak. See, God wants you to do something regardless of your limitations. Because you know why, folks? In your weakness, he is strong. In your weakness, he is strong. We have to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We have to remember, folks, that in our weakness, God makes us strong. Come on. We have to recognize that God won't take us where he hasn't prepared us. Hear me? I said, God won't take you where he hasn't prepared you for. The only reason I could come from an hour south of here and come to Cleveland to pastor a church is because I knew God was with me. I wouldn't even want to try it without God. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, for from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I'm telling you today, folks, God has given us the power of his spirit in our lives. And he expects much more from us. Folks, we have to act regardless of the risk. On. We must believe God's favor is obtained by prayer in our life. We must know that God's people practice prayer and fasting. Amen. We must remember that God's law overrides man's law. You see, folks, Esther was resolute. Esther was courageous. Esther decided to intercede. Who? For who? Her people. Esther said, God, if I perish, I perish. In other words, folks, I cannot lose my life in a better cause. I cannot lose my life in better than to do the duty and die with. Folks, how far are we willing to go to be a blessing in somebody else's life? Let me ask that again. How far are you willing to go to be a blessing in somebody else's life? You see, the story of Esther shares with us some timeless truths of which we occasionally need to be reminded. When a pandemic, riots, tragedy strikes, we are tempted to shut down. You see, we can become paralyzed with fear. Kind of like the deer caught in the car headlights. Right? We can appear that way sometimes when all these things come piling in on us. And we've never seen these things before. And we don't know. It's out of the norm. See, we don't like to get out of our comfort zones, do we? So we sit there like, I can't believe it. It's not time to shut down. I said it's not time to shut down, folks. It's the time when all this nonsense is going on, when we as apostolics need to stand up and say, we got something greater than the world can offer you. It's not time to shut down. We, folks, we can hold a pity party. We can fall into a hole of despair. We can become confused and disoriented. But we read in verse 3, we see that there was a reaction of most of the Jews, folks. There was great mourning going on in their land. There was fasting going on. There was a lot of weeping and lamenting going on. That's just something that happens when things come against us. Amen. We don't know what else to do. We feel hopeless. Amen. But people laid in sackcloth and ashes, and there was little hope and a lot of despair. Mordecai, he acted though. He dressed in sackcloth, but he did it right in front of the king's palace. He attracted attention and he communicated the unjust actions of the people in the community. And Mordecai also challenged Esther to act, to do something. He sends a request to Esther through her servant. Amen. And at first, Esther doesn't want to act. She fears the repercussions of it and maybe of her life. Amen. And Mordecai, he perseveres. And Esther is finally persuaded to enter into the king's presence. How do you react when tragedy strikes you? Or you encounter hard times in your life? How do you react? You see, folks, understand me today. Hear me. God is an everyday God. He's just not God in the good times. He's God in the bad times. He's God during the pandemics. He's God during the protests and the riots. He's still God, folks. Amen. And I want you to know this. My God is still in control. There are not great miracles in Esther's story. God just wanted her to do something. There's not these big miracles. See, God doesn't appear to Esther in a burning bush. Right? Nor does God send an angel to speak to Esther. There are no plagues. There's no crossing the Red Sea in this story of Esther. No one walks on water. There are no blinding flashes of light, and a voice comes down from heaven to Esther. That certainly would boost her faith. Right? You know, she walked in and her bed's on fire, but it's not consuming.
Whoa, Esther, yes, God.
There's none of that big stuff happening. See, we may want God to answer our prayers and change our situation miraculously. We want God to show us these big things. Boom. Oh, yes, God spoke to me. So I got to go out and preach now. I'm telling you right now, God's speaking to you right now. I say, God's speaking to you right now. Come on. Because that would boost your faith. Come on. See, God doesn't always work that way in our everyday lives. God likes to work behind the scenes. Remember, God wasn't mentioned in the book of Esther. But you can see his fingerprints all over everything. God is only seen indirectly in this story of Esther. God's name is never mentioned. And some people, sometimes they wanted to take the book of Esther out of the Bible because it doesn't contain the name of God. God's presence, though, is assumed through and throughout this story. God is working behind the scenes and is the cause of several coincidences. You see, by coincidence, folks, Esther becomes the queen after Queen Vashti upsets the king. By coincidence, Mordecai overheard the plot to kill the king, and the king's life was saved. By coincidence, Mordecai learned of the plot of Haman to massacre all the Jews. Folks, we can see God working in our lives in this type of manner. Come on, how many times has things happened in your life and you say, that had to be God? Come on. How many herds of goats got in your way to keep you from an accident? Right, Sister Lynn? Come on, folks. God does things behind the scenes in our life. But it is just because he didn't speak to you in a burning bush, amen, or do something miraculous, I say, it's God nonetheless. I said, it's God nonetheless. We meet people who have an effect on our lives. It's God nonetheless. Things appear, things happen to nudge us along the path. It's God nonetheless. Amen. We respond and take action because of other events in our lives, but it's God nonetheless, folks. Others may not see the hand of God, but we see God through the eyes of faith. We aren't always prepared for the moving of the Lord in our lives. Stand with me today. There are things that come in our lives that we're not prepared for. God moves in situations and wants you to do something and you're not necessarily prepared for it. God may say, I want you to walk over and talk to that person. I don't want you to tell them. And you're like, but God, I stutter. That's what Moses did. But a better way to is to admit, folks, the struggles that we are enduring. Take the action that we believe God is guiding us to take, and trust that God is working in the background. I believe there's probably every one of us here today can say of a time where God, we know later on we realized that was God speaking to me to talk to that person. That was God speaking to me to go take food to that person. That was God speaking to me to do this or to do that. And I wasn't prepared for it. Or maybe you're here today and you wasn't prepared for God tugging on your heart to say, you need to come up to an altar and give your life to me. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming here for years and you're feeling God tugging you, say, it's time to get your life right so that I can begin to use you, because you are blessed to be a blessing. Whatever the situation is, folks, we need to admit those struggles in our lives, those things that we are enduring, and we need to start taking action, and we need to believe that God is guiding us to take and trust that God is working in the background. Whatever your situation is here today, God is working. I said, God is working. How about it today, folks? This altar's open. This altar's open. God is working and speaking to you right now. Are you going to take action on it? If I perish, I perish. In other words, if I have to give it, just tell this flesh, you're not in control. I'm going to die out to this flesh today because I want to be what God wants me to be. Come on. This altar's open. Saints of God, bring somebody with you. Talk to somebody. Bring them with you.